to the Ludebrary. I hope you have your library card today, because we will be covering Butcher and Blackbird by the amazing Bryn Weaver. My name is Bailey, and I'm joined by my fellow lewd librarians, Courtney.
Hello.
And Kristen.
Hey, hey.
Okay, so do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Anything that happened this week that was good?
Yes, I do. So, since this is our first podcast, our lovely listeners do not know, I am the biggest Taylor Swift fan on the face of the earth. And I have been trying my very hardest to get tickets to the Eras Tour. So last summer I scored tickets for the Vienna show in Austria. So took a whole year, planned a whole trip. It was nice. We like got to go to a couple places and all. But once we were there, we got news that the tour was canceled. Well, not the tour, the Vienna show dates were canceled. So we were devastated in Vienna, but I guess there are worse places to be devastated in. Anyway, I had given up all hope of seeing the Eras Tour. And then on Friday, right when I was teaching tap class, I got a notification that I could join the queue to get tickets. They dropped like extra tickets for the Indiana show. And I was like, all right, kids, class is over. I got things to do. And I was able to score. I was able to score two tickets, two floor seats to the Indianapolis show.
Floor seats? Oh my God, I'm so jealous.
Yes. So barring any craziness, I will get to see the show finally.
That's so exciting.
I'm so jealous. Like, yes.
Blue crew neck for everyone. I can drive there so I can buy as much merch as people need.
I know when Kristen was going to Austria, I told her before she went that she had to buy me merch, and I gave her my sizes and was like, let me know, I'll Venmo you immediately. Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. You have to take a whole extra suitcase just to put all the merch in that you bought.
Pretty much.
I will.
Anything exciting? Any wins for you, Courtney, this week?
No wins. Well, that's not true. I did a really good hair color, and I'm taking it as a win because it took me 4 hours. But it looked really good in the end. So that was a win. I do have a quick little funny story to tell you guys.
Okay.
I am driving my friend's car right now. So we have two cars, and it wouldn't start the other day. And so we popped the hood and it was full of leaves because there was a squirrel nest under the hood.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Right. And I am not going to clean that out. There's no way. So I asked my coworker's husband, I said, you're like the only person I know who will willingly stick your hand in a squirrel nest. So could you please stop by my house and clean that out for me? And he did. And there were plastic sacks and like limbs, like little branches in. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Turns out it had nothing to do with the car not starting though. Oh. It just happened. It was just a coincidence, but I was not going to drive her squirrel's nest around. So
I said, probably she's got to go.
Yeah. But other than that,
yeah. I mean, for me this week, let's see. My friend was at, my friend Brody, shout out Brody.
Woo-hoo,
she was
Brody.
At Barnes & Noble, and I'd been meaning to go ever since last Tuesday to get the Fourth Wing paperback that came out, because I missed the very first Fourth Wing hardbacks with the sprayed edges. And so she texted me, she's like, you want one? I was like, immediately, yes, because there's another bonus chapter in there. And I was like, I must read it. Oh. And I know that Rebecca Yarros is like, oh, I'll post it for free on my website in a little while, a couple months. And I'm like, I cannot wait. I must know now. So I got that book today because I'm just a slut for sprayed edges. That brings my total of Fourth Wing / Iron Flame books to, I'm staring at my bookcase right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 copies.
Wow.
Yes. My other win is that I finished decorating my patio for Halloween. It's so nice. Lit up. Christian is not so happy about it. Y'all, I'm just like, I put skeletons out there and I'm going to decorate them for Christmas. Like, it's going to be a whole thing.
Ooh,
so
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't decorate at all.
I love Halloween and Christmas. And you can just skip Thanksgiving. Even though my birthday's in November, you'd think I'd like Thanksgiving. No. It needs to go directly to Christmas decorations. So That being said, we don't want to ramble too much for y'all listening, because we are honored that you are even listening to this first episode. We want to do a spoiler-free quick recap, a summary situation of the book, because if you haven't read this book, you should go read this book or listen to the book on Audible. I listened to it on Audible.
You should listen.
Yeah. So, Kristen, what do our listeners need to know about this book?
Yes. So before we get started, just be mindful that we are going to be using adult words and saying adult things about an adult book. So please be mindful of young listening ears nearby.
Yes, because the F-bomb is about to get dropped so many times.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Courtney, like, how do you want to start this no spoiler thing?
Okay. Actually, real quick, do we want to drop the triggers?
Oh yeah, go for it.
I'm pulling it up right now.
It's on our Instagram, y'all. It's also on the author's website.
Okay. Because I think it would be funny if I have like a few questions for Kristen based on the triggers. Okay, so these are the triggers for Butcher and Blackbird: eyeballs and eye sockets, amateur surgery, skin ornaments, chainsaws, axes, knives, scalpels, a lot of sharp objects, accidental cannibalism, not so accidental cannibalism, questionable use of mummified corpse, lobotomized manservant, ill-advised use of kitchen implements. I am sorry about the cookies and cream ice cream. I'm not really. Detailed sex scenes, which include but are not limited to cockwarming, rough sex, praise kink, anal, adult toys, choking, spitting, dom-sub interactions, genital piercings, references to parental neglect and child abuse, parental loss, not depicted, one parent murdered, one parent passed in childbirth, reference to child sexual assault, not in detail. It's a book about serial killers, so there's generally some messed up murder and chaos.
Yeah. So okay. For y'all who don't know, our shtick for this podcast is, out of the three of us, every episode, one of us will have not read the book or series. So today, it's lovely Kristen's turn to not know anything about Butcher and Blackbird.
This is like quite an unhinged book to like not know anything about. I love that we're starting with this one.
Okay, like, how long is this book that it has that many trigger warnings?
I think, like, if you listen to it, it's like 8 hours, I think, is what it is.
It's like 300 pages, maybe.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick read.
Yeah.
I flew through it.
Same.
Okay, I have a question, though, because when I read the triggers and I saw questionable use of mummified corpse, I really was like, what am I about to read? So I just want to know, like, Kristen, what do you think that means?
I truly...
Because that's exactly what I thought when I read the triggers. It's, I was like,
it's giving, this is the only thing that comes to my mind, just because we did this this musical last year. I'm a dance teacher at a university, so I choreograph for some musicals, for those who don't know. And we did the musical Lucky Stiff, where the uncle is dead and they cart him around the whole time in like Monte Carlo. Pretending like he's still alive. So that's the first thing that comes to my brain.
Okay. Well, we'll find out when we get there.
Can't wait.
So, spoiler-free summary-ish, the book is about two serial killers, and they meet in an interesting circumstance. One, of course, is a very hot Irishman, and then the other is a beautiful lady. And then from there, they meet every year because of an annual serial killer game, and then eventually they get together, and they're happy ever after. So that's the no spoiler. There's not a lot of juiciness in there, because y'all really need to go read it if you haven't read it yet. So that ends our, you know, no spoilers section of this podcast. All right, Kristen, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, and Courtney, you hop in, cut me off all the time.
Why don't you go ahead and start? Because like I said, my notes are kind of like all over the place, but that's kind of like how this brain works. So why don't you just go, and I'm probably just going to be like, oh my God, and I'll stop you.
Okay. So we start the book off, and our main female character's name is Sloane, and she's in a cage in like the backwoods, I think. And she is slowly watching a man who she killed, like knifed him to death, lay on the other side of the cage. And it's been like 3 days since she killed him and got locked in the cage on accident. And so he's like decomposing, and like sounds and gases are coming out, and like maggots are everywhere.
Yeah, the orzo pasta maggots.
Yeah. So then, you know, Sloane is like, oh my God, like praying to whatever, like hope she gets out of this situation. And then out of nowhere, a man walks in. And his name, we come to find out, is Rowan.
Oh, a Rowan.
Hot Irish man.
Hot Irish
man. I love a hot Irish man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, how do they describe him in the book?
I meant to go back and look at this because in my mind, he is bald and I know he's not because he constantly runs his hand through his hair. But when I read the book or listen to it, Rowan is bald and I can't stop the picture. I don't know. So I have no idea what color his hair is. I don't know. And I forgot to write it down.
In my mind, he's tall. He's got like dark hair, you know, green eyes. Who knows if right. He does? Like, he's probably described with blonde hair in the book. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't. It's like a specific picture I have for him, and I don't know what it is. But I'm like, I know that's not what he looks like because she'll start talking about it. And I'm like, that is not the man I'm picturing. But we're gonna go with whoever this is because my brain won't change it. So just, I don't know.
So, like, Sloane locked herself in the cage by accident? Like, she's not in there because somebody else locked her in?
Kind of both. Like, when she was, like, killing the guy, he kicked her. And she got the last slash, but he kicked her when it happened. So she flew back and the door slammed shut behind her. And she didn't have the key to the cage. So he just went, ha-ha, but then died.
Okay, so note to self, when killing person in cage, always bring key.
Yeah, or just don't get anywhere near the cage. Just stay away from it. That's a fear of mine. Not a cage. Cages? Just like getting locked in somewhere. No one will ever know.
Got it. So then from there, this hot Irishman, Rowan, starts talking to her like this is every other day. And then figures out that she's a famous serial killer called the Orb Weaver.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Courtney's got an eyeball.
The Orb and Weaver?
The Orb Weaver, yep. And he is like fangirling over her while she's still stuck in this cage.
And he's like, don't you know who I am? I can't remember what his names are.
He's the Boston Butcher.
Yeah. And she was like, no. But meanwhile, she's like also in her brain, like, of course I fucking know who you are, but I'm not going to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because she likes to keep secrets. She does not want you to know how she feels.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they talk, and then Sloane's like, please get me the fuck out of this cage. And he's like, okay, come to lunch with me. And she's like, absolutely not. And he's like, okay, then we'll have a nice day. And starts to leave. And he's just going to leave her there. And then she agrees to it. So he comes back. He unlocks the cage and gets her out. And then we find out that the man she killed was actually a man that Rowan was coming to kill because he's like an evil guy. I can't remember what he did.
He hunted people in the backwoods. You know what? I pulled up a...
That's the second guy.
A quick I pulled up a quick summary so I knew because I couldn't remember the names of the killers. Okay, Briscoe was this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, this doesn't say what he did, so I don't know.
He's an evil guy. He like attacks people who are innocent and kills them. So we basically realized that, like, okay, so Rowan and Sloane are both serial killers, but they seem to only be killing evil other serial killers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it makes it, like, reasonable, right?
Yeah. They're, like, giving Robin Hood serial killers.
Right.
Yeah. So, she gets out of the cage. They go into the guy's house that's, like, in the middle of nowhere in the backwoods. And then she takes a shower, This part is hilarious because they're getting ready to burn down the building. So I guess all the evidence is gone. But Rowan, like, she, Sloane comes down wearing evil guy's clothes. Rowan, all he can think is no bra.
Like, literally. He cannot stop.
Yeah, he's like, no bra. Yeah.
It's like caveman brain. He's like, no bra.
Yeah, he's like trying to like move his, like keep his eyes from just straying lower, but he can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they burn the house down. They go to a diner.
Hmm.
And again, at the diner, he cannot stop looking at her boobs.
Yeah, he just says, no bra.
Yeah.
And Sloane seductively eats ribs that he describes. It's like, oh my God. And I was like,
right.
Who, like, eats ribs seductively? Like that's
right. Because she had eaten in 3 days. She was like,
I know, but like, I don't know about you, but Kristen, but like, I, when I eat ribs, it is not pretty.
Yeah, no, there's no pretty way to eat ribs, I don't think. But like, this man is also like, he's attracted to her serial killerness. So like, I'm not surprised that he's attracted to her eating.
They are
ribs.
Freaky.
And then basically they talk and Sloane says bye, but Rowan like suggests that they meet up. Is this where the game is introduced?
Yeah, because in the book, they like, we don't have to sit and really read about how they're not together a lot of times. We just skip ahead a whole year. So yeah. I think that quickly the game is introduced and they get their burner phones, and then he talks to his brother, Lachlan, who's also hot Irish. Oh, and she's talking to Lark a lot about, which Lark is her best friend.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they decide on a game where his brother Lachlan will find an evil serial killer, and then they both have to figure out where it is, who it is, and then the first person to kill that guy wins the game for the year.
Okay, so like the brother is aware that his brother is a serial killer?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's just like serial killers running around and everyone like knows who they are.
And do we learn early on that Lachlan is also not like a, not that he's a bad guy, but he's not a good guy.
He's a bad guy. I think we kind of like, it's hinted at like he can get this information through some sort of means that isn't quite legal.
Right. Okay, that's what it is. That's what we learn. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we have the first game, which is a year later after they first meet. I love how the author just like, instead of being like instant love, instant attraction, it's like they like each other. They both find each other attractive, but like a whole year goes by before they really like meet each other in person again.
Yeah. And for reference, I think when we start, Sloane is 23 and I can't remember how old he is. It's like they're young and then like we go years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I think he's like, I always pictured him to be like 30.
Me too. Again, bald man. Because this is over 4 years.
We learn basically through that conversation where she first meets him, and then like while she's getting ready for the game, is that the orb weaver is because she plucks eyes out of her victims and then strings them up on like fishing line and creates like a map.
I knew this would be good because when we were talking about what books, Kristen was like, I don't know, I don't really do like really gross things.
And I'm like, this is perfect. Don't.
Yeah, so she like strings up the eyeballs and then also like other pieces of the flesh, and we learn that it's because it's a map of like where that serial killer who she killed, like where her where that person's victims were killed or buried or whatever, so the FBI can figure it out.
Yeah, and then they have it. There's layers.
Yeah.
She explains that in the next murder.
Yeah, so then they meet up at the first game, and it's in a hotel. Like, I like to think it was like in Appalachia. Like,
that's just exactly what I picture.
Yeah, it's like in the backwoods, like trails, hiking. It's not like super touristy, but maybe slightly, because it's probably on the Appalachian Trail, so like people hike and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I always picture this like hotel that they're in, like, I mean, they describe it, but just like real like old looking. Like, how did I end up here in this weird little Airbnb type of hotel with the one cat?
Yeah.
And the man in the pink tie.
Yeah. So like they meet up in the lobby and Sloane is reading her Kindle. Well, the author says e-reader, probably because the word Kindle is like copyrighted.
Yeah.
And he asks her what she's reading about.
And it's monster porn or dragon porn.
Dragon porn. Yeah.
Dragon porn.
Yeah, because she says the dragon has two dicks and knows how to use its tail.
Yep. She does say that.
Okay, can we get a copy of this?
And just for everyone listening, throughout all of our episodes, we are not kink shaming or any of that. We just are doing based on our reactions. So don't think we are doing, you know, kink shaming you. I don't know a better way to say that.
We don't yuck anyone's yum.
Nope. And he tries to get it from her.
Oh yeah, and then he's like trying to. It's and she puts it under her ass, and he's trying to get it. So the little flirting,
he's just like thinking ass.
That's all he can think about.
And there's a cat there in the lobby named Winston.
Oh, I hope Winston makes it through the book. Oh,
he does.
Yeah. Okay.
All the way to the end.
All the way to the end.
Not the cat.
And you meet like the proprietor, the owner of the place, and he's like a younger guy, kind of awkward. Like he tries to like make conversation, and it's like really awkward. You know, like when you're like out somewhere and you see someone you know, but you're not like friends. Do you know what I mean? And then you have to like awkwardly make conversation with that person.
That's Francis for sure.
Yeah.
A bunch of serial killers are staying in his motel.
No, he thinks they're hikers.
Oh, lovely.
Because he's like, worry about this trail. Lots of people have been known to get lost. Wink, wink. You know, you're like, oh, this guy's the killer.
Right. And we should also note that throughout this whole book, Sloane seems to know things way before Rowan ever figures it out. Like, she catches on faster than he does.
Well, that's not surprising.
No, he's just a hot Irish man.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
Right?
She's smart.
The next day happens and they're like searching separately. Like there's a little town nearby. And then they come back. They have like a little conversation, but then like Sloane's like, good night. Oh no, that's when she goes on a date.
Yeah, she's like, I gotta go. I'm going somewhere.
She like looks all hot.
Yeah.
Like Kristen does whenever I go out with her and I'm like, look like a sack of potatoes and Kristen. Oh my God.
Not true.
We're recording this podcast and Kristen looks like to the nines, like hair curled, makeup on, like you look so cute. And I'm over here like with 7 day hair, no bra.
Okay,
it was hair wash day, so it landed this way. Yeah. And I'm also like a little hungover. And honestly, like when I like put myself together, it makes my hangover way less. So.
Yeah, I got up and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take a shower. I'm going to knock this thing out. And it helped a little bit.
But yeah, y'all, I woke up this morning and to a Snapchat group chat. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you call it. What do you call it? But like Quinny and Kristen are sending pictures of their hungover asses to each other. And like just talking about all the boots they had last night. Not together, separately.
Separately, yeah.
And I'm like, should we push the time recording back? Are we good?
I was so drunk last night that I had to make myself get sick, which whatever, but I lost my nose ring in the process, like puked my septum out, flushed it down the toilet, and I had to get up at 8 a.m. and go to Walmart and buy nose rings. I was so mad. I was like, I love it so much, you know, drunk, thinking my my piercing is going to close up. It's all good. It didn't close.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, me either. I laid down and I went like this and I was like, oh, my nose ring's gone. Crying.
No.
And then I passed out.
That's terrible. I was right there with you. Last night, I purposely moved my. I know we're like talking about a book right now. This is intermission.
tangents.
It's on the Instagram page. Tangents.
Yeah, tangents.
I purposefully moved my TV from my bedroom to my living room so that I like wouldn't stay up late and watch TV. And then like last night, I'm like, I must watch Harry Potter in my bed. So I'm like drunkenly trying to move this TV. I fully fell. The TV is fine. my knee, not so much. It's fine.
Oh my God. At least you're just and like, you know what? I think I'll watch it in bed. I won't just watch it out here. I'm going to move my TV again.
Yeah. Well, I only even watched like 30 seconds of the movie before I fell asleep. So all the effort was in vain.
But the real question is, which movie did you put on?
The first one.
Oh, classic.
I know. I know. It was an interesting choice. I was kind of thinking, oh my gosh, it's that time of year. I get to start them all from the beginning and watch them again. Like as if I don't watch them every week. so I think that was my thought process, but we can't be certain.
Yeah, my favorite one is The Chamber of Secrets, the second one. That basilisk, however you say that it. Is, that puppet is on point.
That is
okay, back to the book. So Sloane comes out dressed to the nines. She's like, I got a date. And Rowan's like, no, I'll come with you. And she's like, absolutely the fuck not. My win. So she goes on a date with, what's his name? Francis?
With Francis, yeah.
And the whole time he's like pacing back and forth in his room, like thinking she's gonna die.
Yeah, his thought process is crazy. He's like, well, I should go, but no, I shouldn't, but I should. But if I don't, and what if something happens?
Francis, wait, is Francis the owner of the motel? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it.
She goes out with him to get information. Like that's what she's doing.
Because she's suspicious of him.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Sloane comes back. So Rowan hears Sloane return through the walls of the hotel. And then I kid you not, y'all, this was at the part I was re-listening to this week. And I had rolled down my window to get Chick-fil-A. And I forgot that this was coming. And like all of a sudden, like my audio book is like blasting through my car. Like, and then he heard a vibration noise. So I was like, oh shit. Am I trying to like turn it down? Like, but also not lose my place because I hate that. Right. So I'm like trying to pause it too. But my car is so old that when I pause it, the Cube, I have a Nissan Cube, y'all, for those who don't know, it's a clown car. Whenever I pause it, maybe like a minute later, the car just says fuck you and puts it back on, like just turns it back on without you. So it's like a constant battle of me like pressing pause.
Bambi versus the Cube.
Yeah. So basically he starts hearing vibration noises. I don't know how a better way to say that. Do you, Courtney?
Buzz. Yeah.
And then he starts to hear moaning and you're like, oh shit. She brought her vibrator. I mean, more power to her.
Yeah. You don't know how long you're going to be there.
Yeah. I mean.
Hot Irish next door.
Yeah, hot Irishman just next door.
Picture him.
Yeah. And then as Rowan is like creepily listening to the door, the wall, he hears her say.
She whispers his name.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She's what do you think, Kristen? Perfect. Is that like hot or like creepy?
I feel like she has an ulterior motive. Like she knows he's listening and she's doing it on purpose to rile him up.
Hmm.
That's what I think.
You're smarter than I am because I didn't catch that. Because a minute later in the book, Rowan starts to hear the noises of jerking off. And I'm like, what? And then
a little skin slappy.
Yeah. Ew. Rowan walks down his wall and notices there's like a picture there. And in my mind, I can't really figure out how this works.
Me either.
Because he says he sees the eyes open, but into his room. So does he have eye holes in both pictures in both rooms?
In the way he was like, and then there's like a 90 degree angle where the wall is not, it like comes out. There's like a weird corner. And I'm like, I cannot picture this.
Mm-hmm. We need so
there's
spec.
Just like a there must be just like a little cubby that has been built in where someone can get inside of it and look into both rooms.
Wait, that's so creepy.
I know.
Yeah.
You're checking behind every painting in hotel.
This Francis guy?
Yeah. Basically. Yeah. So you, Rowan like I guess, taps the wall or something, and then Francis's eyes pop open. I'm not sure why his eyes pop open in Rowan's room if he's clearly watching Sloane do her thing.
Right.
However, that means you hear Francis is like eyes open. He's like, ah! And he like runs away through the hall, like through the wall. Cause I guess there's like a, I don't know, like a chamber of secrets.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like tunnels.
Your tunnels. And Rowan like punches through the painting into the wall, through the drywall. It must not be very good drywall if you can punch through.
Yeah, he like, doesn't he like pick up a lamp?
Lamp, yes.
And he smashes the painting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the painting, he's with such like force, I think he goes through the other wall.
Yeah,
like
something.
Sloane's room.
Okay.
And Sloane's like,
and then he's like, this pink tie motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite lines from the book. Pink tie motherfucker.
And Rowan, and Sloane is, oh no, he doesn't go through the wall. He just goes into the wall, hits the other side of the wall, and you hear Sloane go, Rowan, what
right.
the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, and she screams, ah! And then, she like gets up and he gets out of the wall and goes to her door and she opens her door and she's like in a sleep set, like shorts and camisole.
Yeah, little silky sleep number.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I think those look cute, but like, I don't like my thighs touching. So it's long pants for me all day, every day.
I don't, silk, I cannot do. I find it so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it sticks to you funny. Ugh.
Yeah. You Although know? I don't no really give. Look cute in tiny little silk shorts. And not the, and a little tiny tank top. Mm-mm. I wake up and one of my boobs is already in the kitchen making breakfast, and it's not, we're not contained.
And so Rowan is like, are you okay? And Sloane's like, what the fuck are you doing? Of course I'm fine. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, there's someone in the wall. And she's like, I know. So
well,
you
actually,
figured
she
it
says,
out.
I know it's you. And then he was like, actually, it's that pink tie motherfucker. And she goes, I knew it.
And then she goes and looks at this weirdly constructed now body hole in the wall. Still can't picture it. I need blueprints. Bryn Weaver, author, please give us blueprints of this hotel because I can't figure it out in my head. And then without another word, Sloane just takes off running.
Yeah, she's gone.
Because it's a game, right? The first person to kill him wins.
What do they win?
They just win.
Bragging rights.
Yeah, bragging rights.
And that's a big deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yes. Amongst serial killers.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm competitive too. If it's for bragging rights, I'm there. And then he's like, oh, fuck. And then, but I really like how he always says, because he's Irish.
Feckin'. You feckin'.
Yeah, he says feckin'. He's like
an idiot.
Like, oh shite, you feckin' idiot. Like, mm-hmm. Idiot. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, so he runs after her like a psycho and she's running outside.
Yeah.
She must not have shoes on.
Oh, I think I don't remember now.
Because all I could think while listening was like, ooh, ouch, you're running through gravel on bare feet.
Yeah, because I can't remember if she goes back in her room and then comes out and runs, or I don't know.
Just runs.
Yeah. Can't remember. She sprints. And then how does there's like a caretaker house up the hill.
Yeah, there's like,
but
a
then he's in a car
house. Yeah, so he like
Francis
runs
in a car.
Yeah, so Francis like runs to that little house and gets in his car and Rowan's like, not today, motherfucker. And then he like jumps on the hood of the car while it's moving.
Okay.
Just hanging on, like Mission Impossible style. You know what I mean?
And he crashes into a tree, right? Something? What is he
doing? Because Francis is like swerving, like trying to get him off. And then Sloane goes, tree! Okay. And then Rowan like lets go and tumbles off. And then Francis hits a tree.
Yeah. And then Rowan pulls Pink Tie Motherfucker out of this car.
Yeah. And but then the guy... Francis gets away because he holds onto his tie and it's a clip-on.
He just grabs the tie and he was like, of course it's a clip-on.
He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And then
all I can picture this Francis guy, this is kind of random. Do you guys watch Schitt's Creek?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just am picturing, what's the husband, the like mayor of the town. I cannot think of his name.
Wait, the mayor of Schitt's Creek?
Yes. He's like the husband of the, she's a teacher.
Right. I know who you're talking about. That's funny that that's what you picture.
That's what I'm picturing for this Francis guy with the clip-on tie.
I picture like a uglier version of Timothy Chalamet.
That's what I would picture too. Oh, I just think it's because we're not giving you actually a good description of what the book tells you that he looks like. We're just saying he wears a pink tie and he's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Which is accurate for what you think.
Why can't I think of that guy's name? It's going to bother me. Oh, well, it'll come to me.
And then Francis like broke his leg or some shit in arm. So he's like hobbling away. So it's not like going fast. And Sloane like runs up to Rowan and is like, are you okay? And he's like, this part, like, I was like, wait, what? When I first read it, listened to it, he like grabs her by the throat.
Hot.
Grabs her by the throat and says, mine. And like, when I first read this, I was like, what the fuck? Okay, dude. What?
Taylor Swift. My tattoo.
And she's like, okay, dude, it's fine, he's yours. So then he runs off into the woods, gets Francis, and then I guess he just beats him to death.
Yeah, I wrote some quotes from the book.
Oh, go for it.
Because I made note that Bren Weaver is so descriptive when she talks about specifically the murders. The line is the scent of blood and piss and asphalt, the slip of his split flesh against my fists.
Oh God.
Like, yeah, it's, she gets, yeah, so he just like breaks his nose. I think he breaks his jaw. His teeth are broken, and so it's cutting through his lip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kristen's like, my hangover's back.
Yeah.
It's back. It's all back. I'm not going to lie. I'm like so nervous for whatever this ice cream thing is to come into play. Because I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be great.
It might not for you. I mean, it wasn't good for me in the book either.
No, I... Although that wasn't the part that I gagged at, but okay.
Oh my God. No. Should I get my Tums? Like, truly?
No, I think it'd be fine. The part I gagged at, you probably won't, but I was like, okay, we'll get to that. So Rowan beats the guy to death. And then he like, I didn't really get this part, but like maybe Courtney can kind of have some enlightenment about it. But he's like drops to his knees and he's like, Sloane.
Yeah.
Like he's like all devastated and shit.
I even made a note that says like whenever Rowan talks about Sloane, he almost cries like every single time. And if you listen to it, Joe Arden cries like when he talks. So he's like, he like calls out for her because she's like backed into the shadows. And he's like, Sloane. And she's not coming. And then like he has a full on nervous breakdown a little bit.
He's like, she left me. I know she did. And then Sloane just like comes out of the shadows and is like,
I don't know if I should do this or not.
Yeah. She's like, and she's just like, I think you're in your cubism era because like
which
there's just
the chapter. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just like body parts everywhere, I guess. Mm-hmm. And like his face rearranged.
Because when he grabs her by the throat and says mine, Sloane thinks that he's talking about that kill is his, but really what he means is both. I'm killing him because you are mine and he tried to watch you do that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So then he like has this breakdown that she's left.
Mm-hmm.
They're like not even together.
Nope. And they hadn't seen each other in a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obsessive, possessive much?
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Then they Courtney can't talk. And she has a tattoo that Desi put on her thigh on a couch.
Yeah.
Courtney, you want to tell us that quick story?
Oh, just, you know, things that happen after you go out with your friends and then you don't know what else to do. And you're like, well, the night's not over. And someone says, I've got a tattoo machine. And you go, well, let's get it out and let's put tattoos on each other. And so now I have a tattoo on my upper thigh that says mine, which is Taylor Swift, but also Sleep Token, because I'm obsessed with Sleep Token and also Taylor Swift, but more so Sleep Token for me.
We love. I mean,
and it's not a very good tattoo.
I really like how you were like, I should have made Desi try it on someone else first and then gone second. Yeah, because the second one looked better.
Yeah, the second one looks pretty decent, actually. Just, you know, looks like a couch tattoo, and mine looks like a 3-year-old did it. It's like,
I mean, you know, it's only permanent. It's fine.
Yeah, we can go over it. It'll be fine.
I mean, it's a good story.
Yeah,
I think it's an incredible story.
I think it's cool.
I think you should leave it as it is.
Oh, leave it and not even touch it up.
No, yeah, just let it fester.
Someone looked at it the other day and was like, Meyer? I was like, mine. I'm showing people pictures. I'm not hiking my shorts up to show people, just so everyone knows.
And then, so Sloane stays. She's like, it's okay, big guy. And then she helps him clean up.
That's actually a pretty good analogy there. Like a Bruce Banner Hulk moment. It's like, okay, I'm here. Calm down. Calm down, big guy.
Yeah. And then they like clean up and burn the evidence. And don't worry, Kristen. Sloane brings Winston, the cat, with her home.
Winston goes back to Raleigh.
Then what happens?
I don't know. Do we skip? Is there?
Go for
this
it.
This is when we, you know, because they don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they don't see each other. They talk sometimes.
Yeah, they say that they like text a lot and do video calls.
Yeah. This is when year two rolls around and she's in her little storage unit, right? Is that what happens?
I think so.
Yeah, and she's like in the process of torturing a child abuser.
Yeah.
I think that one. Yeah.
I think so.
And she's on the phone with Lark and she's like, I don't know. I haven't really talked to him all that much, whatever. She's just, you know, acting like it's not that big of a deal. Meanwhile, she's like literally falling in love with a man that she sees once a year. And she's waiting for the text to come through for that year's competition. And then it,
just like the master list of serial killers, like numbers.
Yeah, so because Lachlan will text them both the same thing, and then they have to try and figure it out. And so she's mid-killing this guy, well, torturing him, and she gets the text. And she's like, all right, buddy, this was fun, but we're done here. And so she just quickly murders that man, and then they go off to California, right? Thorsten's next?
So I think that happened before the first kill. Oh. Y'all, we suck. We're terrible.
Really?
The what's up, right. Order of things. That's what I'm looking for. Because this time, Rowan calls her and says, I really want you to join me for these food awards. So he's a chef and apparently owns like an award-winning restaurant called Three and Coach. She agrees to come and then like dresses to the nines.
Okay, actually, first, before that, she goes to Boston on her own, remember?
Yes, ah, shit, guys, we suck. Yeah. Okay, rewind. We kill the first guy, and then later, she decides to go to Boston.
Doesn't tell him she's going. She's just going to show up at Three and Coach, which is his restaurant. And she does, and she's real awkward, and it's really cute, and she's super nervous, and she goes, and she gets this table and she's hoping that she gets to see him, and then like she eats this whole meal, he never comes out, and she's still too scared to even mention that she knows him or to have someone go get him, and she's getting ready to leave, and guess who comes out? Rowan. And everyone else is there.
I was like, wait, am I missing something?
No. But I'm also nervous only
that there's a restaurant involved in a serial killer situation. It's making me feel
not this one.
Okay. So Rowan comes out, but also coming into the restaurant is Rowan's entire family. She sees Lachlan. She doesn't actually know that it's Lachlan, but she can tell it's Lachlan. And there's some weird animosity that she holds towards Lachlan. I don't know if you felt that, Bailey, but she's like, I don't know him, but I know who he is and I don't like him. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
something like
chill.
That. Yeah.
Like, chill. We don't even know him.
When she got up to leave, she got, you know, her food to go. She had, well, she was too chicken to like tell Rowan she was there. She like got her sketch pad and drew a bird.
Okay.
Blackbird.
Blackbird, yeah.
Because he calls her Blackbird. Yes, he calls her Blackbird. Because she's got like really dark raven hair, I guess. She goes to leave. Lachlan like stops her and then Rowan comes out, sees her, and is like, oh my God. And she's like, hi. And Lachlan's like, join us for my birthday lunch. And she's like, no. And then there's like some really hot ladies that show up to like a part of the party, you know? And she's like, no, I gotta go. And she like runs out.
Yeah, she runs out. But also Lachlan, Lachlan does something that upsets Rowan, and he's like, don't you feckin' touch her. I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, hot.
Yeah. I can't remember
Yeah.
what he does, but
I
yeah,
think he makes a
overall
joke.
possessive. Yeah.
Or he says, like, is this who I've been texting? Or something weird like that. And then Rowan gets defensive. And I'm
Well,
here
that's
for that.
cute.
Yeah, she's
Yeah.
mine. We love it.
Yeah. And then she goes home to Raleigh. He texts her as she's leaving and says, I wished you had stayed. And then she
Aww.
does this weird thing where she says, I'll text you when I get home. But then like she doesn't text him for like a week, and then she says, sorry, I've been really busy. And so then like it's kind of awkward for a little bit. But then we fall back into our normal routines.
And is this the food part, or is this the ballroom dance first, then food?
So let's see, goes there. Oh no, we remember he delivers food to her house.
Yeah, so he like,
That's next, yeah.
yeah, so he like Uber Eats it. He like hires a street kid to like deliver food at her door, and he teaches her over the phone how to cook
While he's hiding behind a
while he's hiding
tree
behind
down
a
her
tree
street.
down the street.
Oh, okay.
So he's
Yeah.
basically doing the same thing she did, like being too scared.
To say hi.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
Okay.
and this
And
is like
that's
where
really
they're.
cute.
It is really cute. Like he does it a couple of days in a row, and they're like their relationship really grows. And then later, after this scene, that's when Rowan invites her to go to the restaurant awards for Three and Coach, and she
Okay,
dresses
yeah.
to the nines. See, we're back on track, y'all. We figured it out. We figured it out.
We got there.
You know, invites her. She dresses to the nines. They go to this beautiful party gala thing, and he gets an award. And they're like. And he asks her to dance, and she's like super anxious and like really nervous all the time. She
Which is
finally,
funny because she like kills people all the time.
right? And she's all anxious, and he asks her to dance, and she finally just says, fuck it, yes. And she like really thinks like this is their moment. Like they're slow dancing, and it's so sweet. And then he's like, do you see that guy behind my shoulder? In the red shirt or whatever. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, he's a serial killer. He's a dentist. He's killed like 18 people. Let's kill him. And she's like, what?
Right. She's really thought that this was the night that things were going to change. And then she says, she thinks, well, oh, this is all just a game to him still. He doesn't feel the same way I feel. And
Yeah.
it's very sad.
Yeah. Because he had texted her inviting her, like he said, do you want to have some real fun? And he was under the impression that she thought that he meant kill someone, which is what he's thinking.
All right. So they're just not communicating. It's what it
Yeah.
sounds like to me.
Basically. Sorry, duck is like trying to get in my lap. For those who don't know, I have two whippets, two small looking greyhound creatures. Can
They're so cute.
you pick a spot? Okay. And that's really sad. And she's like, no, I gotta go. And then she leaves and flies to Spain for her work the next day.
Yeah, yes. And then,
is her work just serial killing, or does she do other
She's a
things? She like does a
scientist.
job.
job. Yeah, she's like a scientist or some
Oh,
sort
okay.
of thing.
And then we go to California.
Yeah.
Right?
This is like the text. No, just kidding. Just kidding. That's the last one, right? Texas
Oh.
Chainsaw is last, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Yeah, so
lead.
we go to California, I guess. I didn't realize it was in California.
Wait, also, Rowan gets a call because there's something going, there's like all tons of stuff happening at his restaurant. It's like impeding everything to get this new one open.
Yeah, he's trying to open a new one.
Right, which is important to know.
And he
Okay.
leaves her at the gala alone.
Oh, yeah. Rude.
I know.
Just
And
man.
he's like, stay, have fun. Here's the information for the car, whatever. And she's like, well, fuck no, I'm not gonna stay without you. But my heart is crumpled on the floor back there. Sorry.
So then they get there, a year goes by, and they get their yearly game. And they go to California. Apparently, I didn't realize it was in California. I thought it was like New York City.
Calabasas.
They find their target, who is like a very British man who's a serial killer.
Yeah, I love the voice.
Yeah. Shout out to the narrators of this audiobook. It's the first audiobook I had ever listened to when it first came out that had a dual narration, so two different narrators. And I really liked that.
You'd never listened to one like this before?
Correct. I don't listen to graphic audio, so that's probably why, because I prefer like regular audiobooks.
It's really hard to go back to not having that dual narration and like listening to a woman do the male main character's voice. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. But Jo Arden is an excellent
narrator.
And so is she. I love her voice.
Yeah,
I just listened to multiple Jo Arden narrations.
Mm-hmm. And so they meet the British guy. They get invited over for dinner. And so they both show up. And Sloane is looking around the art of this guy's like crazy expensive house. And like notices like pictures of food, people eating, people sleeping. And she's like, ding, ding, ding. I was waiting for Courtney to speak, but she didn't.
Oh, ding, ding, so ding. Sorry. I was reading my notes.
ding, ding, ding. This guy is going to drug us.
Right. Which I didn't pick up on when I listened to it. And when I reread it, I still was like, what am I missing? But I also am having a hard time reading because I keep falling asleep every time I read or listen.
Mm.
So I feel like maybe I just keep falling asleep in important parts. And so yeah. I don't know. But yes, drug and... Yeah, don't drink the wine.
Yeah, so the first wine is okay because the bad guy, I forget his name, British guy,
Thorsten.
Pours it and he drinks it too. So she's like, okay, I can drink this. Mm-hmm. And then they get to the table and their server is a guy named David who's all like Frankenstein-y.
suspicious at all.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has to like be given orders several times in a row. And then
eating.
Yeah.
And Rowan being the chef is like complimenting at the wazoo. He's just having a good time. Rowan knows this guy's the serial killer, but I think that he didn't realize what he was going to do.
Right.
So British guy like pours them glasses of wine, but doesn't pour himself one. And she's like, someone's like, I'm not drinking this.
But Rowan does.
Oh, shit.
And just drinks it.
Like downs it.
Ooh. And then he
and this is hilarious because David comes back with their food. He like gives Sloane a funny look about David and she's going lobotomy right, like just like mouthing it, so he like gets it, but he's so drugged up he's like, you love me. And then David sets down beef tartare.
Which, by the way, drugged Rowan is so very cute. My notes actually say drugged Rowan is the feckin' cutest. Like, he really, he's like, isn't Sloane, she's so pretty. I'm going to marry her one day. I don't know what all he says.
But yeah.
He's thinking all of it.
And then he's eating the beef tartare and he like has some of it in his mouth and then just like face plants into his food like asleep.
Okay, I thought that was going a different direction and I got really scared.
Well, you should know that Sloane will not eat her food. She's not okay. Gonna do it. She's not gonna drink the wine. She's not gonna eat the food. She's trying to tell Rowan not
don't
to eat
do
the food.
It
mm-hmm.
It's too late for him though.
He ate it.
Yeah
he ate the beef tartare, which in general, who eats beef tartare?
Not me.
I mean, I love beef tartare, but
really, you're more refined than we are.
I don't know about anymore. I don't know where this is going, but
yeah, you might have a different outlook on it. And then we just
Then British guy like looks is like all smug and then like, looks over and then realizes that Sloane hasn't fallen asleep.
And then she like her blade comes out of her. She's like got it in her hand all of a sudden.
Yeah, she's like. Like, she's very, like, Aelin from, like, Throne of Glass.
We love.
And then, I think that she tortures him for a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But then we just, like, new chapter, and then Rowan's waking up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so she, like, starts doing her thing. British guy hasn't died yet, but He wakes up to the sounds of like moaning and stuff like that, and like cries. He's like, you know, what's wrong with me? And then like sits up and is like, sees Sloane having plucked the eyes out of the British guy while he's alive, but the British guy is still alive. So
yeah. And she's taken like pieces of his skin and skin ornaments for her web. But then Rowan starts to throw up and she yells at him.
Yeah. She's like, in the bowl that she like put next to him.
Oh my God. I mean, yeah.
And then she tells him, well, actually she said, David's in the kitchen freaking me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he throws up because of like, he's sick from like the drugs. But, and then she's like, he's like, what happened? And she's like, it was, he's that food you ate was people.
Yeah.
You ate people. She's like, I had to like take a slice of meat out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes him throw up again.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't have read this book. There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm like queasy right now.
It's actually a really good book.
But it is a good book. It's funny.
Like, yeah. It sounds like a good book. I just can't handle this kind of stuff, you guys. Mm-hmm. It's such a little chicken shit.
Then yeah. Similarly to like how Rowan has his little nervous breakdown during that first annual kill, Sloane starts to go in on Thorsten, Cannibal Man, and she has her own little breakdown, and you kind of get a backstory on why she is the way she is. Yeah. And she just is like, what does she say? Like, she like blacks out and goes somewhere else in time. And
yeah,
where
she's like 15 or 16 or something like that.
Yeah. And she's saying all of the things about the person back then to him. And then, mm-hmm. So then it's Rowan who has to say, you're here, we're here. That's not happening. So now, you know, they can save each other.
Yeah, because basically you basically get the understanding of like Sloane killed whoever it was when she was a teenager to save her best friend Lark, because we find this out in the second book, and it's kind of basically explained in this book, but mm-hmm. that her best friend Lark had been sexually abused by their professor, and I couldn't decide if Sloane had too, or maybe had the beginnings of it. There's some trauma there either way, so that's where we find out. That's how we find out like that's why she kills people.
Got it.
Yeah, and then she just, does she then just kill him?
Yeah, then she kills him.
Yeah, and then
finally decide to go to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm, because she doesn't want to go see David alone, because she's, he's not being mean or anything. He's just really creeping her out.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they, because she says he won't stop eating. He just keeps eating things, which is gross because we know it's people. So when they finally go to the kitchen and they see him, he's just eating ice cream, some cookies and cream ice cream from the garden. And they kind of have this little conversation to themselves, like, what are we going to do with him? Whatever. She goes over to David and she's like, okay, I'm going to take this from you and we're going to, and then she's like looking at this ice cream
that has like homemade ingredients written on it.
Yeah. And Rowan's like, I don't want to know.
And she's evil.
That's
so
how
she
I'm
says
right
them.
Now. I don't want to know.
Well, you're about to find out. I'm sorry. It's semen.
Oh,
made
God.
With semen. Right. So then Rowan is like, I'm going to throw up again.
So he goes and throws up in the sink.
Yes. And then they take David to the dishwasher because Sloane has talked Rowan into taking David back to Boston, because Sloane says, we can't just leave him here. He's had a lobotomy.
And so she shows him that he knows how to work a dishwasher. And so she's like, see, he can be your dishwashing boy. And he's like, I'm going to regret this. And so fast forward, that's what happened. Then we get to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I think we just jumped
splashed
right
there. Yeah.
And that's Harvey Mead.
Yeah, Harvey Mead is like, so he is... They go outside this like big, creepy old ranch house, you know, in the middle of Texas somewhere, tumbleweeds. And then they hear a chainsaw and screaming. They play rock, paper, scissors to see who goes through the front door and who goes through the back door.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And Sloane goes through the front and she sees a corpse.
Mummy.
Oh, yeah. It's like a mummified corpse. And
dried out like jerky.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, this is for sure his mom. He had mommy issues. That's why he is the way he is. She remembers where this corpse is because we'll come back to her. And then she's like slinking through the house and she's like, okay, where is this man? By the way, the house is gross. She says it smells like food and trash and it's just a nasty little house. And she opens a door and there's a room with a bunch of monitors, or I guess it's not, it's like a couple monitors, but it's like 18 camera views from all around the house. And she can see Rowan walking into the kitchen. And then she can also see Harvey approaching through the hallway towards Rowan. And she has this, like, she's like freaked out. And so she goes to save him, but she's met with Harvey's boot.
Because Harvey was in her hallway, not his.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
And so she takes the boot to the face, right?
Yep. And then wakes up in a, and then he grabs her by the hair. Ouch.
And then throws her into a cellar and she dislocates her shoulder. And in the cellar is a girl who's naked. So
just crying with a southern accent. She's just like, oh, is Adam okay? Yeah. And you're like, no, Adam's not okay.
No, he's not. Oh, yeah, because on the camera, she could see a dismembered body on a table. And to get descriptive for you again, she says that she can see the blood and flesh dripping off the table. Mm-hmm. If we had to read it, you have to know about it.
Yeah.
Great. You guys are really trying to make me pass out before this episode is over.
Now, so silly of Harvey Mead, but he didn't check her for cell phones. And she had her cell phone on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to tell Rowan where she was. So
Rowan also hatchets the door down to the cellar.
But let me rewind. So naked girl. Sloane takes off her, I'm assuming she's wearing a flannel, takes it off, gives it to naked girl.
Naked
so
girl.
So now Sloane is just in like a t-shirt or something, a little something, so
a bra. I think it's a bra. She's just in a bra.
Yeah. And so, you know, Rowan's gonna want to look at
no this. Bra.
But yeah, he hatchets the door down and he pulls her up out of there, and then they leave, what's her name, they leave a little girl in the,
leave Southern Belle behind. Yeah. They're like, we'll be back,
Shelby, be Amber, quiet. I don't know her name. Yeah. Yeah, if it's like, if you're just quiet, he won't know you're down here, he'll think you left.
Yeah. And then they run to the barn across the way and it's like thunderstorming. I don't know why this is the part, but they're like, he's like, are you okay? And she's like, yes. And then they like start like making out like behind this barn.
Yeah. The tension built and then it snapped and they said, this is the time, we're running from a murderer, let's make out.
Yeah. And it's like tongues and teeth.
Yeah.
I think we get a little below the neck too, yeah, don't we?
I think so. I think,
yeah, because I think I think it's described that her like bra is like see through.
Yeah, yeah. And
oh,
then,
he likes that,
right? He loves the boobs. But then they're interrupted because old girl screams. Right? She like runs into the barn. Like, how did she get out of there?
Somehow she got out of there.
She jumped. Like Sloane could barely get out.
But she runs screaming, and they just like, because Harvey's come out chasing her with a chainsaw. I guess they like look out and then like all Scooby-Doo like look back at each other and like, oh, and he's like, Rowan's like, wait here, because like Southern Belle just keeps screaming and running. Rowan just like, bam, 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 hatchet versus chainsaw fight.
Yeah, it's kind of gross, actually.
Yeah, he like
chainsaw, I think, is the grossest thing for me.
Yeah, he like, Rowan like hits him in the back with the hatchet.
Yeah, and then, but then the chainsaw like slices through his Harvey's kneecap.
Yeah,
and then so he goes down.
Yeah, because he's like, he's described as almost like 7 feet tall.
And he's like, yeah, and he's like, oh yeah, she said he's a huge dude. Mm-hmm. So he's gone down hard, and then he was like moaning, and I, the moaning in the book, like the audiobook, I hate that, the that he does in the background all the time. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I was listening to it at Walmart and this guy in the aisle with me made that fucking noise, and I turn around and I was like, why are you making that sound in public in the freezer section? I don't want to hear that any more than I have to. And then Sloane says, hang on a second, I'm not done with him. Okay, so Sloane goes, wait a second, I am not done with this man, I have an idea. And she runs And she goes and grabs Mama Mead and she brings this mummified corpse back to the barn and she's going to try and fuck with Harvey.
This part's like so weird.
It really is. And she's got this corpse and she's like making it like crawl up his body.
She's like, oh, Harvey, you've been such a bad boy.
Yeah. And then
she sticks the mummy's fingers in his mouth.
Oh yeah.
And then he like goes like red and purple. And then he just stops moving.
He dies. I'm pretty sure he had a heart attack.
Yeah, they're like, you just fucking scared him to death.
Which was disappointing.
Huh.
We're taking so long. We should probably speed this up. Basically,
okay, we're almost done.
Right? We get to the car. They get to a car. They drive to Nebraska where Fionn lives, which is Rowan's youngest brother. And he's a doctor in a rural town. On their way there, Sloane complains about how there's a literal boot imprint of a bruise on her face. Like, you can see the logo.
Oh, the Carhartt logo. That's what she kept saying. The Carhartt?
Yeah. They get to Fionn's house, and then when they open up the door, they start getting attacked.
By Rose.
By Rose.
Crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Rose? The
lady there. She's just a lady that's there who has two crutches and... One broken leg, two broken legs.
I think one broken leg. She's from the circus, which you find out.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah.
She's a circus person. And she's like, did he do that to you? Like saying that to Sloane. Yeah. And Sloane's like, no, he didn't. She's like, he did that to you. And Sloane's like response is like, look, he's not wearing Carhartts.
Yeah.
Basically, there's a truce. Fionn comes out. They're like, it's okay, that's my bro. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Before Fionn comes back, Rose calls him to like verify that this is his brother. And Fionn is like, ask him what his childhood nickname was.
Shit flicker. And I don't think, do we get the story?
I don't even know. I can't remember, but it's not super detailed.
Probably for the best. Yeah.
Book. You hear Fionn cackling and he's like, yeah, that's my brother. And then fast forward, Fionn like repairs her shoulder, gives her some mad good drugs, and then she needs a bath because she's disgusting after being in that cellar.
And she gets
her bath.
What happened
to Southern Belle?
Yeah, I don't know.
We don't know.
She just, like, if she just runs across, if she just runs along with the river, she'll find someone eventually. They just like leave her. They're like, okay.
I know. I was like, wait, did she die? And I was like, oh no, she just ran. And that was it. Okay. That was the last of it. Because then they hop in the car and drive to Fionn.
Nebraska, yes. Rowan's like, oh, I can go get Rose to help you. And she's like, no.
No.
I want it to be you.
So
keep in mind that she's got like a big ass boot print bruise in her face. Two black eyes. As someone who's had a black eye, Courtney's seen it. That shit hurts. It looks horrible.
And she's got a whole boot print on her face. Her shoulder's been dislocated.
Yeah, and like I think she has some cracked ribs.
Yeah, she's like, and my ribs might be cracked, but I'm okay. I'm fine.
I'm fine. We get the bathroom scene.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was gonna say,
and we find out all of her piercings.
Yes. Oh my god, I had to Google this. So basically, like, she gets undressed. He undresses her, and she's got a clit piercing, a labia piercing, and a fourchette piercing. I was like, what the fuck is a fourchette piercing?
That's the whole baby.
Yeah, I had to Google it, and I still don't quite understand.
I think it's just, like, right at the...
Yeah, I just, like, couldn't really... It's, like, bar. I know it's a bar. There's a bar somewhere, because they describe...
Yeah, I think it's more so for your partner. I don't know. The listeners, they can tell us if you have one.
Yeah, if you have one, please comment on our post. Please, I would like to know if that shit hurts. Basically, because I looked it up on Google Image, and like probably, like, you know, when the FBI is like totally watching what you're doing, they're gonna look at my search history and be like, what?
Oh,
serial killers and labia piercings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when Rowan, and she's like half, she's like kind of in the bath at this point, so she at least got the grime off. And as soon as like Rowan like discovers that, he's like, it's
my control. Yeah, he's like, my control is I'm losing
loose.
Yeah, then he goes into this weird thing where he's like, I'm if we do this, there's no, he like turns very primal all of a sudden. Cause really up till this point, except for that time when he beat the shit out of that guy, he's kind of just been like, I really love her. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And he's like very sweet about it all. Mm-hmm. And then we flip real quick and he's not sweet Rowan anymore.
No, he like takes her and puts her on the bed all wet. Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. If that happens to me, let me towel dry first. I don't want to sleep on wet sheets.
I don't want my body to touch a comforter wet. I don't know why. I'm just like,
yeah. Also fuzzy. Someone else's comforter because they're in the guest room of Fionn's house.
The fuzz on me? No.
Not the fuzz.
Yeah.
That's all.
And then they start going down. I think Rowan gives her oral first.
He does. Gives her oral. Then he introduces his fingers. And then
I guess we find out at this point, like, it's been a really long time for both of them. Like, they both haven't had sex with someone in 4 years since they first met each other.
At least. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause they were waiting for the other person, which is he was like, why haven't you? And she said, it's you. I've been waiting for you. Duh.
And he's like, okay, let me get down on that.
Yeah. Clip. And he says, all right, baby, let's go.
Let's go.
A side note for sure. Yeah. Bryn Weaver has some sort of
piercing.
Oh yeah, that. What I was also gonna say, she may have like a little bit of a kink with semen or cum.
Here's where I gagged. Okay,
a snowball.
So they have sex. You know, he comes inside her, and then he goes down on her again. And this is I'm like I'm not kink shaming, but I literally gagged. Like
he slurps it up, and then
he's like, open up,
and spits in her mouth, which is called snowballing.
Okay. I'm so glad I know that.
You both said, okay.
I was like, I'm trying my hardest because like the rest of the scene, I'm like, hell yeah, this is my shit. This is smut right here. I'm loving it. I don't have piercings, but I can see it, right? And then this happens and I'm like immediately taken out of it. I'm like, oh God, like I felt like I needed to go brush my teeth.
I loved it.
Oh yeah, and I had a note about this part. Wait, let me grab it. Rowan gets undressed. We forgot about that. And Rowan has a tattoo on his back of the raven that she drew at his restaurant like all those years ago.
Which prompts her to be like, oh, why do you have that tattooed? And he was like, why the fuck do you think I have it tattooed? And she's like, because you like me. And he's like,
no.
Yeah, because I like you. I don't just like you, you idiot. And he makes her say it.
Yeah. And then
things happen.
Yeah. And then Bryn Weaver like describes like all the things they've done like really quick in succession. And then that's my thing here. It's like they talk about like how he comes a lot for her. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, there's no refractory period here. Like, is this guy just like, is the Boston Butcher like a Superman?
Because,
like,
I think so.
Like, it's like immediate. He's like, okay, I came in you. All right, now open your mouth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, don't you need some resting periods? I mean, maybe that's just me.
Maybe not for the Irish.
In real life. Maybe.
Hey, if you're Irish and this is a thing, let us know in the comments.
I said, let me know. Like I needed to know. I mean, let us know.
At Courtney specifically. Then this is what was wild to me. They fall asleep with his cock in her still.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, how long? Because he's behind her. It's described that he's cuddling her. He's the big spoon. So in my mind, I'm like, how long is his dong? Like, How is it? And then what angle is it at?
She says. Then he scoots even closer, so we're flush against each other. I'm like, so you were all the way touching before?
Yeah. And he's like, good night. And like, all I can like, okay, Bryn Weaver, I need a diagram, like a Kama Sutra of like how that dong gets in there. Because, like, he talks about how she has an ass. So, like, I'm like, there's got to be ass there. Yeah. So, like, yeah, maybe it's an Irish thing again. Irish, if you're Irish and you're a man.
Let us know.
Let us know. Basically, she's like, I can't fall asleep. I'm so, like, wound up. So she starts to pleasure herself with her fingers. And he's like, he wakes up, of course. He's like, he's like, what are you doing?
Sloane?
Sloane? And Then what do they do?
Oh, well,
that's where they bring out the dildo.
Yep, little DP.
So then he like goes to her bag?
Yeah, he gets out her lube and her
as if dildo. He just knows that she's carrying it around with her. Like,
she's kinky. I know she's got one in here.
Yeah, so he gets lube and a dildo.
He puts his penis in her.
And puts that in her ass, or was it vice versa? I thought they
started the other way around.
Yeah, I was like, pretty sure.
Toy goes in.
Yeah, toy goes in
P
her.
And, B, and mm-hmm. then P and B.
Yeah, and then he's like, I told you I'd have all of you, all your holes. And I'm like, okay. I hate that. That's like a trope, holes. Like in all of these kind of smutty books. He's like, I told you I'd have all your, everywhere. And it's like,
all your holes are mine.
Yeah, it's not that I'm ugh at the act. I'm like ugh at like the way they say it.
Yeah, I'm like, don't call them my holes, please.
Yeah, like. Because like then you're like, if you're talking about all the holes, like the ears have holes.
Any hole is a goal.
Right, Kristen?
Precisely. Yes.
Who are these girls?
Yeah, so then they have anal sex, and then she's finally able to sleep. After coming like 18,000 times.
All right. She's like, and now I'm ready for bed.
Yeah.
Now I can sleep.
Molly, hit us up. If that's like a Raleigh thing that you can come, that you can come like 18,000 times in one night, let us know. Are you built down there?
What's in the water?
Yeah, what's in the water over there? Then basically they move in together. Oh, we missed my favorite part.
Which is?
And they meet Rose. She's like, who is he? Who is he to you? And Sloan like can't say boyfriend.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
Simply says, she says, he's my man guy.
Yeah, and then Rose calls
herself
his lady girl or whatever
lady he's girl said. Or whatever, yeah. To Fionn. So sorry, I had to bring that up because I wrote like 18 notes about it because I thought it was so.
Well, I also liked that next morning when Fionn was like, I thought I told you no rough sports, like, because they could hear them. And Rowan goes, we weren't playing sports. We were having sex. So I was like, I love it.
Yeah, like how Rose cackles and Fionn's just like, oh, no. So then they go back. Sloan agrees to move in with Rowan so that she moves to Boston. And they open up his new restaurant, which is called Butcher and Blackbird.
Butcher and Blackbird.
But
you're right.
And so when he shows her this restaurant, of course there's another smutty scene because they're like by themselves.
Yeah, and my note is table sex.
Table sex. Ah. And then
it's good.
Yeah, and then they're like back in the kitchen, right? At some point. I don't know if it's a later scene or the same scene.
I think they start in the kitchen and then he's like, go to your table now.
Yeah, because he like made her a special table like in the middle of the restaurant with that has like wings over it and stuff. And then he comes in her, I guess, and then she's like, I need my underwear, I need to clean up, and he's like, no, I want you dripping down your thighs. And I'm like, ew. I'm sorry, like,
let me clean up, please.
She's wearing a dress. Like, it's one thing if you wear pants,
it's
right?
I feel like the smutty books are always like that. They're wearing a dress. And then
yeah,
they want
that's like the claiming, you know, like,
yeah. And am I like, the only one who like mine. Right, and I'm the only one who instantly thinks like, go to the bathroom, you're gonna have a UTI, girl.
I know.
Like, am I the only one who thinks that?
In the books maybe they don't get UTIs.
Yes. Sorry if you hear squeaking in the background, it is my dog.
I can't hear it. I think your mic's doing a good job.
Okay, good. One day she comes to the restaurant and walks in, and Rowan's like all tense and shit.
It's weird too when you're reading it, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and he basically like says all these horrible things to her, like says that she's unlovable because she's a psycho, and he says, you need to get out now. And this is like right after like a monologue she's had about like how like happy she is to have her own key to the restaurant, to the house, to like all these things, and he's like, you're a fucking psycho, like get out.
Oh my gosh, he must be saving her from something.
Right? And then you find out that, and he says all these weird things to her. He's like, do you remember at 4
on April 18th? Yeah.
July 13th, like, da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, what? And then he just says more horrible shit. And then she finally leaves crying. And then we find out in the next scene that David, lobotomy David, is not lobotomized. He has been a real human, non-lobotomized, just pretending to be.
Plot twist.
Yeah. And apparently, so go ahead.
Lobotomy?
What?
No, he's just pretending to have a lobotomy.
Yeah, just pretend lobotomy.
Wait, he gave Rowan one?
No.
Oh, that's where I thought you were going with this.
No. So basically, remember we got David from British guy?
Yeah.
So it turns out David had agreed to pretend to be a dumb servant during their dinner, because apparently David, in the serial killer Reddit, like every time around August, serial killers start just kind of showing up dead. So, and it's been happening for 4 years, right? So
I forgot about this.
It's like safety in numbers. So David like went to British guy and was like, let's hang out. I'll pretend to be your lobotomized servant. And so that's why when they killed British dude, he's like, I'll just pretend to be lobotomized. Mm-hmm. And like keeps it going very long. He's so like in a group home. He drives up.
He's getting rides to and from work. Yeah. Living in a group home really is. That's a long game. That's playing the long game.
Yeah. And so he has a gun and starts talking all sorts of evil villain stuff. But I don't know why he wants to kill Rowan.
You know, this part, there is some disconnect for me, because he's like, I will kill you both if you don't make her go away. And if you do make her go away, I'll just kill you. And I'm like, what did they do to you that was so bad?
Yeah.
You alive.
Yeah. And then he starts talking about, after Sloane, you know, runs away sobbing, like talks about like how he's going to hunt Sloane down and like make her his, and then like chop her up and feast on her. And then, he, as he's doing his evil speech, he's one of those deli slicer mandolin things.
Yeah.
And he's slicing skin off of Rowan and eating it.
And I wrote, I was like, Rowan's arm actually upsets me more than like anything else in the book. But because it's like Rowan's arm that's being sliced away, I'm like,
Yeah.
And maybe because he's eating it raw right in front of him.
Okay. Yeah.
He's eating it raw. Straight raw.
About to make it through. I didn't anticipate this. I thought we were at the end.
We are.
Yeah, so he's eating Rowan while he's alive.
Okay.
Just talking all sorts of evil banter shit. And then move over to Sloane. Sloane's like back in the apartment. She calls Lark crying, you know, because he's an asshole. He said all these horrible things. And then she's like, wait a minute. He's like, remember when I said this on this date? And she's like, but he didn't say that on that date. He said it when we were at, and then like the pieces come together, and she's like, and then she like pulls up her phone, and like, I guess her security cameras in the kitchen, and sees David, lobotomy David, who's not really lobotomized.
Right. And it's a secret camera that she had put up, because she was like, what are all these things happening to the restaurant?
Yeah. Cause so I think it's like going camera. Missing and shit. Yeah. And she sees David eating Rowan.
Oh God. And so she calls her best friend in the whole entire world, Lachlan. And this, she's still very mean to him and says, okay, she can't even like be, not that she needs to be nice to him, but she's like, she's still very mean to him, but
she's
trying
like
to get Rowan saved.
She's like, you're going to do this shit if you want your brother alive. Like,
right. I'm like, are we missing?
Hi, how are you? You know, it's like, hi, how are you? How am I doing? Oh, pretty good. Except, you know, Rowan's like in the kitchen getting eaten. You know,
yeah.
You know, like just a regular introduction would have been nice.
She's just like, and you're going to do what you have to do. And I'm like, whoa, I'm sure he'd do it no matter what. Chill.
Yeah. Sloane goes to the kitchen. Rowan's like, you need to leave. Get out of here, because he's like heard all the horrible things that lobotomy David's gonna do to her, and she just is like, ha ha ha, like pretending to be like all like,
oh yeah yeah yeah,
you know, like I'm so evil, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I get the vibe.
Yeah. And lobotomy David is like, oh, really? Oh, ho, ho. And she's like, yeah, you think I really wanted to stick with this Irish idiot with a 12-foot dong? And starts talking about all these things. And then, like, I guess she has a knife, right? But she, like, just sets it down. No, yeah. she has a knife, but he doesn't know.
Yes.
And she, like, picks up his gun and then, like, plays with it. And she's like, ha ha, just kidding. So he, like, Lobotomy David's really, this is, like, making no sense, but Lobotomy David is like, oh, ho, ho, ho. Like, he's, like, totally falling for it. And then gets really close to Sloane. And then Sloane, like, slips out her scalpel, like, Aelin style or, like, assassin style. And then, like, shoves it behind his ear into his brain.
His fully intact brain.
Lobotomy.
Yeah.
Now he's really dead. She calls Lachlan. And Lachlan's like, you good? And like, yeah, all clear. Because I guess there was, like, you know, not SWAT, but really SWAT people outside, like, ready yeah. to help her. And then she turns to Rowan and starts yelling at him. She's like, I'm not under the law. And he's like, you are so livable.
I love you so much.
Yeah, well, he's tied up with pieces of flesh.
Flayed skin.
And then we fast forward, right?
Yeah, we live happily ever after.
Well, they go to a tattoo shop first.
Oh, I forgot about the tattoo shop.
Yeah, they go to a tattoo shop, and he's getting a tattoo over his scars from Lobotomy David.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he get? Something Sloane drew.
We'll check my notes. I didn't write it down. Wow, yeah. I'm so good at this.
Something really pretty.
Yeah.
And she gets something tattooed on herself. That I can't remember what it is.
What? What?
We all read a lot of books.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. I kid you not. We read so many books. It's insanity. I'm reading 3 right now. 2 on the Kindle, 1 audiobook.
Yeah, Bailey's the one who can. I cannot read more than one book at a time.
I do. I have like a physical book I read, a Kindle book I read, and then an audiobook that I read.
Okay, so I'm the novice 3 different. Here. I also am like the newest to be obsessed with smut. So these
that's true.
They got me into it. So
well, I got Courtney into it, and then I got you into it too. So,
this is all Bailey's fault.
Yeah, pretty much. Welcome to the Ludbury. The Ludbury.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so they both get something really nice tattooed on them that they both drew, and they live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
And do they give up serial killing?
No.
No.
They have a game every year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Oh, that's it, because that's the epilogue. That's how he...
Oh my god, we're so stupid because they're at the annual game and they're like working together because she's like building her web of eyeballs and flesh. And he's always joking that the left eyeball throughout the book, the left eyeball looks like kind of scratchy, like she didn't do a good job like plucking out the eyeballs. And she's like, he says that again, like, oh, the left eyeball looks weird. And she's like, no, it doesn't. And then she like sees tissue paper in there. So she like pulls it out. She opens it. It's a box and it's an engagement ring.
And from an eye socket?
Yes.
He's like, will you marry me? And she's like, you proposed to me with a dead guy's eye socket? And he's like, yeah, that was a bad idea, right? That was bad. Oh, I can redo. And she's like, no, I love it. And then they get engaged and then they live happily ever after.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, so that's Butcher and Blackbird. Well, your thoughts, Kristen?
Wow.
Wow. Do you think you'll read it? What?
Wow. Do I think I'll read it?
Wow. Yeah.
No. No.
So out of 5 stars and 5 chili peppers, what would you give it, having not read it but only listened to it?
Well, like, the storyline is good. Like, I can get behind it. I just don't think, like, genuinely, I don't think I would have made it through with all the gore and stuff. So, like, it would have probably been a DNF for me.
Okay. Okay.
But, that's, like, not, but, like, I like the story. Like, I'm actually glad that you all told me about it rather than me having to, like, DNF it.
Got it. So, what about chili peppers? Can you give it, out of 5 chili peppers, what would you say it is on spice?
Well, judging by the long list, I would say it's probably a 4. I don't know if it's the snowball that makes me feel that way or or what.
Courtney, what is your what are your stars and chili peppers for this book?
I
the people
I
must know.
It, Okay, so I think for me, and I'm easily impressed, but I think I give it a 4 because sometimes part of the storyline didn't always, not that it didn't make sense, but I'm like maybe a little bit unrealistic sometimes. It's a story about serial killers. I don't know what I'm talking about, but Spice, I do give it 5. It's a slow burn, but mm-hmm. once you get there, like we said, it's like 18 times in one night. It's many kinks. There are piercings. So I say 5. What about you?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, having listened to this book twice, you know, once when I first noticed it, when it was all over Facebook, because I'm in a bunch of book groups. And I think it was like right after it came out. So I listened to it and enjoyed it. And then upon my re-listen, I enjoyed it again. Like, of course, like there's some things with the plot where I'm like, okay, we're just fast forwarding and like just like leaving it, you know. But I would give it 4 stars for storyline. And then for Smut, yeah, I'd have to give it like a 4 because it's not like so smutty that there's no plot, you know what right. I mean. And I do love a good slow burn. Like
we love this
Mariana Zapati. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
I know. This, yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll cover one of her books, y'all.
Like, whenever I think about those books, I go, those books are so good.
They're so good.
Wait, what plot? I just missed it.
The author's name is Mariana Zapati.
Zapata, yeah.
Oh.
Zapata.
That's All Roads Lead Here or whatever.
Yeah.
I have it, have not read.
It's really good.
So good.
That's the first one I read.
I read all of her books. Except the superhero one. I couldn't get behind it.
I have an Audible credit and I think I'm going to read. I'll listen to that one and then I'll tell you if you should complete your Mariana Zapata.
Okay. Okay, of the superhero one. I was like, you know, like I love fantasy, but I don't know if I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. So next episode, what are we covering?
This is Off Campus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yes, it is.
Which Kristen loves. So I'm excited to hear her talk about it.
So it's the Off Campus series?
Yeah, that's quite a few books.
Wait, just the...
I think we should just do the first one.
I agree.
I don't think our decisions are made here, people.
Yeah, the first one. Yeah, cut this.
I have read the first 3, but I don't have time to read 4 and 5 like anytime soon.
Okay, so the first one, I mean, obviously, y'all, I will be the one who has not read it next time. Yeah. So that will be a joy.
Yeah, we're really switching it up for next time. And we are going into hockey romance, cutesy.
Mm-hmm. I love hockey romance. Okay.
It's a good one, though. I have read it.
Nothing that makes me want to pass out.
hey, we can, if I got a good hockey one that is also dark romance, so we could dab back into a little bit from both.
We could circle back.
Yeah. And don't worry, y'all who are listening, who are like hoping for fairy smut, like, don't worry. We will be covering all the fairy smut of, you know, your basic bitch of, you know, the whole ACOTAR series, Throne of Glass, Crescent City, the Ashes Cursed Star one, anything. What did I feel? You know what I'm talking about? What's that one called with the eyeballs on the front?
Yeah, it's how does it feel? Is that
something like that? Yeah,
I didn't read that one,
so don't worry.
I have not read any of those books you just mentioned.
Yeah, it'll be
damn. So.
I know. I'm not really a fairy smut girl.
Oh,
if they got wings,
I'm a dark romance girly.
They got like cool elemental powers. I'm there. So if they're Sarah J. Maas, I will have read it. So we're so excited for you to listen to our series, y'all. And I guess this is us signing off. Yeah. I'm your lewd librarian, Bailey.
And I'm Courtney.
And I'm Kristen.
And join us next time.
Bye.
Bye.
You think it's good?